My name is Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. We're ready to send it over to Studio 2A. My guest this week, Forest Fallows. They've got a new album out, great album. It's called At Home. So, without further ado, live from Studio 2A, Forest Fallows.
only fools make mistakes and can't leave them behind. Oh, I know that the world is an alleyway, and here comes night. The horizon falling faster than a flying pig on home.
My name is Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with the band Forest Fallows. Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Matt.
Hey. We're going great.
Good. So why don't we start off with introductions? You can each introduce yourselves, or each other, if you'd prefer.
I'm Mike Barnett.
I'm Alex Morton. And together, we are the Human Forest Fallows.
Yeah. So right off the bat, we'll get into the name, because we may have some listeners who remember the Human Forest Fallows as well. Not that he's gone anywhere, but he's not playing out as much. So tell me about how you guys got the name Forest Fallows.
Well, we were struggling for a name for a while. We'd gone through so many and just, like, nixed them all. And we're pretty close with Forrest. So one night I was at Club Congress just having a beer with Forrest, and I was telling him we can't figure it out, man. And we're throwing names around, and I was like, how about Forest Fallows as a joke? And he was like, that'd be great. It would confuse everybody. And I texted Mike, and Mike was like, dude, that's it. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, because, like, people that don't know him, it's a perfectly legitimate name.
Sure.
It works, and then, yeah. And then to people that do know him, it's just really funny.
Right. And you did change the spelling, so there's at least some
yeah.
Google difference between the two. But this Forest Fallows, the band, has one R in Forest, in case folks are looking it up online and get confused. Yeah. Tell me, let's kind of go through the chronology. So when you're having that conversation about the name of the band, at that point, you guys had played together in different projects over the years, but were you working on this batch of songs when you were trying to come up with that name, or did that even predate this batch of songs on At Home?
We were definitely recording the album at that point. Pretty sure.
Yeah, no. We didn't come up with the name until the album was pretty much done, like 99% done.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of the songs came from before our electric project, Mombasa. We did acoustic stuff.
Right.
So, like, the song Gabrielle on there is from before that. Gulf Breeze, we actually recorded an electric version of that. There was a couple other ones. Lightly Down is from the old ones, but then the new batch is like Twice Around the Sun and Homeward, and that came from like after Mombasa when we wanted to record the album, and but it was still all before the name.
Yeah, Forest. Back when we didn't really know anyone in town, we're both from out of town, and we were rooming together, and Forrest happened to be one of our neighbors, so that's how we met him. And then we found out he was a musician and was throwing these little house parties in his backyard with acoustic acts. So it all goes back to Forrest, really.
Yeah.
Just it's a staple in our diet.
Yeah. I know that both of you found your way to Tucson by way of College of Santa Fe out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but we're from elsewhere before that. I'm always interested though to hear how artists find their way to Tucson if they don't have a, you know, family connection or something else like that. So how did each of you find your way out here?
It was me first, and I don't know. I graduated college, and I'm from New Jersey, and I just didn't want to go back there. It was really set in stone that I was not part of the East Coast anymore. Mm-hmm. So a few things led me here. One of my best friends was going to the U of A, and he needed a roommate. My sister happened to be living here for work. And then my mother was like, well, if my two kids are in Tucson, I may as well go out there. And then my best friend transferred back to Rutgers. My sister moved to the East Coast, and then my mom moved back to the East Coast. So I was just like, all right.
Before that, that's when I moved here.
Yeah.
Before they all.
Yeah. Mike sent me a letter in the mail. We were talking on the phone. He was just like, I got to get the hell out of Massachusetts. Can I just crash at your place for a little bit? And I was like, of course.
Yeah. But I had checked with each of my friends that had gone their separate ways because everyone was from somewhere else.
Sure.
And, like, Alex by far sounded like he was doing the best. Like, everyone had moved back into their parents' basements. Mm-hmm. And Alex, like, had this huge house on the west side with, like, a hot tub and a pool table. And he's just like, yeah, it's a college town, like, girls everywhere. And, like, we had also been playing a lot in college and, like, we're really close friends. So it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So the album that the songs that are in this batch can be found on is an album called At Home. You recorded it last year and put it out not too long ago now. But you recorded all the songs at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's something that was not a new process for you, right? The two of you had been recording together in other projects in the past, correct?
Yeah, we did Mombasa's whole album in our house.
Although somebody else mixed it in a studio. So it was like that, yeah. So we had more control in like how things were recorded initially, but mm-hmm. then we gave up control for the later step. Before that, we tried to have a friend of ours that has a studio, a really nice one in his garage, do a batch of songs for us, and we really didn't like the way that those came out, or at least like he had a whole different idea of the way they should sound that was different from ours.
Sure.
And then, and so for this last album, we just wanted to be in complete control of each step of it.
And take our sweet, sweet time doing it. It took like a year to record that album, but it wasn't like 40 hours a week for a year. It was more like one Monday a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. And then there was like the whole learning curve of what we liked, like the process, what microphone, where to put it, how to do it, what effects, and then finally, probably like close to 4 or 5 months, maybe even 6 months into it, we had like totally defined a process that worked for us. So there was a lot of stuff that just got deleted before we wound up
re-recording stuff. And just like even like a part that we thought we'd keep for like months and months, we were just like, nope, just or like one of us would get like a new microphone and then we would have to redo it.
And was it mostly this batch of songs that you were working on and re-recording, or was there a much longer list at the outset of that process that got whittled down to what made it onto the album?
No, it was basically those songs. I don't even think we didn't put any.
If anything, it was like a smaller batch that we had to extend. I think it was just like, oh, whoops, we don't have enough stuff. Let's write another one.
We're going to get back into the set, but before we do that, a reminder to folks. First of all, we're listening to Forest Fallows live in Studio 2A, the new album. It's called At Home, and is there a good place for people to find the album online, either to be able to buy physical copies or to stream it?
Yep, forestfellows.bandcamp.com. You can purchase the album through there or listen to it for free. And then, you know, Facebook, find us. And if you put Forest Fellows Tucson I'm pretty sure will come right up.
Cool. And also, a week from tonight, you've got a show over at Club Congress, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about that during the next set as well. But first, let's hear some more music from Forest Fallows here on Locals Only.
Cool. Thanks. New one?
Singing in my ear, I can't remember, but I
My name's Matt Milner. We're live in Studio 2A with Mike Barnett, Alex Morton. They are Forest Fellows. Thanks again for coming down tonight, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's really fun.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really remarkable to me that this was a product of, you know, of home recording because it sounds, I mean, the production on this album, I think, is really outstanding. And I think that you captured a sort of a signature sound as well. And it makes sense now that I know that you've recorded it so painstakingly over the course of a year. But tell me about the process of developing that sound and that production. You mentioned about some of the experimentation with different equipment and different setups. But did you have something in your head when you started out that you were trying to capture? Or was it really just a product of working with what you had and seeing where the process led you?
Maybe a little of both. We probably had a vague idea of what we wanted it to sound because we already had done recordings that we didn't like, so we knew how we didn't want it to sound. Mm-hmm. We sort of knew that we wanted things to blend together, so we wanted to work with reverb.
Yeah.
One way that we approached it is that we just dissected the main components of it, which are the guitars and the vocals. So we spent a long time, like, you know, more than 24 hours just dialing in the way that we wanted the acoustic guitars to sound, like running the microphones through, like, tube amplifiers with like natural spring reverb, and then seeing where the mics should be and trying different microphones and seeing which ones work best. We probably put the most effort into the vocals. We ran the vocals through a tube guitar amplifier with lots of reverb and did all the vocal takes together. Pretty kind of similar to the way we're set up right here, where we're just singing from the same side of the microphone into the microphone, with the idea that the vocals blend in the air before they even get to the microphone.
Yeah.
So a lot of that kind of thought process that was just trial and error, like over and over, seeing how things sound.
We also figured out that when we were doing single vocal tracks and then someone else would lay a harmony vocal track over it, that it just didn't sound like the way we normally sound when we play. Yeah. And then we realized that when we sing together, we kind of just like change the timbre of our voices slightly or something. I don't really know, but we just sound different when we sing together as opposed to singing alone.
Yeah, and it was like recording headphones, one pair of headphones that we flipped to the ear and went like this, like head to head, cheek to cheek, into the microphone. So it was kind of like a double headed beast.
Just hours and hours of standing next to each other, just like sweating in a stinky bedroom.
Right.
Yeah.
well worth it for the product that you turned out here. You talked a couple times about the notion of blending your voices and how you accomplished that. You guys have played together for a long time now in different kinds of projects. When did you realize, as you were starting to play with each other, that your voices blended together so well? And was that something that was natural or the product of years and years of playing together and learning each other's voices?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think
it wasn't intentional.
I think we both use our ears as much as we use our guitars or our voices in the musical process. So I think there's like weird subconscious stuff like that. There aren't really words to describe, but like I don't know. I think definitely just playing together for so long and
yeah, and also like living together, you start to like, it's like Beavis and Butthead. They're just like their voices start like complimenting each other just because of the time that they spend with each other. but it's like partially luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since the album was birthed into the world. You've been playing out a lot, but you've played... It's probably fair to say that most of the shows that you've played since the album was released have been full band shows. You've played in both arrangements. The show coming up Monday at Congress, will that be with the rest of the band as well?
Yep, we're doing full band.
Tell me about the process. You know, this is an album that was recorded just the two of you over the course of a year. And then you started to play shows out as a band. What was the process like of trying to convert these songs to a full band setting, and how did you go about putting that band together?
Andy on bass and Roger Reed on drums are our close friends. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty easy. Just like, hey, do you want to do this? Because A, we like you, mm-hmm. and B, you want to do it, so that's cool. Andrew Kohlberg on keys was a score.
Yeah.
He mastered the album, and we were thinking about asking him to play, but we just figured that he was going to be too busy, and he totally jumped on it. So that was cool. Yeah. And then they're all such good musicians that it was just like easy.
Yeah.
Like we had played these songs for way too long, so it was easy for us to just like nail them every time, and then the other guys are just good enough that they just got it really quick. So,
yeah. And the recordings were sort of floating around long enough that we could gauge excitement, you know,
sure.
from certain people.
Yeah,
people that seemed like they were into it. There was a few other people that were excited, but they couldn't really commit and mm-hmm. didn't work out. So this was kind of like the people who were excited and could also be there.
Sure, sure. So what's next? You obviously put a lot of time and effort into putting out this batch of songs. It's been very well received. Are you starting to think about the next recording, or are you thinking about just focusing on continuing to promote this batch of songs? What's on the horizon?
We sort of teamed up with Mike Dixon in town, who does Pioptic. Mm-hmm. Records out of Tucson, and he's sort of teamed up with Joyful Noise Recordings.
Yeah.
And so he is helping us. He sort of made it happen where Joyful Noise is going to co-release a vinyl of this album.
Very cool.
So that'll be in July, hopefully late July, that'll be coming out. It's not like a record deal or anything. They kind of want to just help us, a little bit because they like it and friends of friends. And
sure.
Yeah, it's definitely like a gleam of hope, though, that maybe if we keep pushing ourselves, that now that we have a connection with them and they've expressed interest,
yeah,
that something will happen that way.
Yeah.
But I think... like the song that we just started that second set off with is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
That's not on the album. But I think just naturally there's going to be more songs, and we're going to want to get in the studio to hype it up more. And
sure.
So, yeah, I think our lackadaisical just like ways of playing music is benefiting us in really random ways. Sure. We don't really have to... change what we're doing at all. We can just keep on floating around and things are going to work out somehow.
There you go.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we'll look forward in July to the vinyl release of At Home. Is that going to be the same same mixing and mastering that we have on this album? Will it be remastered for vinyl?
Don't think so.
No, I don't think they modify it too much. Yeah, we recently heard like a test copy of it.
Oh, cool.
But I'm not sure like if they did anything audio wise. I think it was like just pretty much true to that.
Excellent. All right, so we'll look forward to that in July, a week from tonight, performing at Club Congress, and you can find the album for purchase or streaming at Bandcamp. Find more information on the Forest Fallows Facebook page. And with that, We'll let you play another song or two, whatever you'd like, and then we'll actually hear some cuts off the album, some stuff that is harder to translate in this setting, maybe, so we can hear some of that great production, and hope you'll join us over in the On Air studio for that as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
Golf?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abby.
That was Forest Fallows live in Studio 2A, and they're going to come over here in a minute, but first we want to hear a track off the album that we didn't hear over there in Studio 2A. This one's called Bird of Paradise off of their new album, At Home.
To
My name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and we've spent the second half of tonight's show with the band Forest Fallows. I'm joined in studio by Alex and Mike. We just heard the track Lightly Down. We heard the studio version of that, and they also played live for us in Studio 2A. So thanks again for coming down tonight, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So let's take that track as an example. You know, what's different in layman's terms, I guess, what's different about the way that track sounds when folks hear it on the album versus how it would sound if you were trying to, you know, replicate it over in Studio 2A? Tell us about some of the studio magic, so to speak, that went into a song like that.
It would sound bad if we played it live. It would be like completely naked. No one wants to see that.
Well, yeah, running it, I think a lot of what happens with that song is it sounds super thick with the vocals especially, and that's mainly because those are running through a tube guitar amp, and so it just fattens those parts up a lot, and the natural spring reverb fills it out. And then there's just like little odds and ends in the background of that track that we did. Like there's a very minimal percussion, just sort of like a tom drum that just does a little thing in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, it's just like little details for that that we wouldn't be able to pull off live.
And when you were recording a song like that, and over the course of the whole recording process, I guess, for all the songs, would you hunker down with one song for a couple of weeks and really work on that one song inside and out? Or would you jump back and forth to some of these songs over the course of, you know, weeks or months or however long?
Yeah. I remember like thinking that a certain song was like done, or like a certain part of a song was done, and then we would start working on the next song and we would come up with like a new little way to like do the vocals or something, and then be like, oh great, now I have to go back and redo that other tune. But
we did kind of just like take one song at a time for the most part, really just like delve into it. And yeah, the worst was when we would do that and then, you know, a few months down the line, have new techniques, just like, all right, pretty much scratch that entire month's work, but whatever, it'll be worth it. So,
and when you were developing new techniques over the course of putting this album together, was that almost purely a product of just your continual trial and error? Or were you also, you know, if you were running into a wall somewhere with some limitation that you'd encountered, were you consulting with friends or reading up online or anything like that to come up with some workarounds and new techniques?
I did consult a little bit with one sound guy in town. I think it was about the vocals, and he pretty much said that there's no real right way to do it, just to like, it is all just trial and error.
Sure.
You know, distance from the microphone and like keeping in mind which of your surfaces in the room are reflective and, you know, absorbing sound. And
so was there a point in the recording process when you had like all of your dirty laundry pinned up against the wall? Or
almost.
We did have a shirt tacked to the ceiling.
It wasn't dirty though. Everything else was in that room, including ourselves.
Yeah, there was like a foam mattress on one of the walls.
Yeah, we
had carpet floors, which is good. A tapestry.
Yeah,
it definitely wasn't totally dead. But
the shirt that we hung up that he's talking about was pinned to the ceiling just randomly. So my ceiling just is a normal ceiling with a ceiling fan, and then just one random shirt packed up in a completely just totally random spot, and it happened to be a African shirt that I bought at the African art fair.
Oh yeah, I love that place.
So people would just come in my room and be like, what the hell, like, is that supposed to be a tapestry? It's like, that's terrible.
It stayed up there forever. All I had to do was take it like four pins down, and it just kept forgetting.
All right. So I want to thank the band again for coming down, Force Phallus. Thanks to Alex and Mike. We're going to hear one more song. We're going to hear the track Bird of Paradise. And again, this is off of the album At Home, which are there CD copies available still, or are we sold out at this point?
We actually are sold out of the CD, but we're getting more in the mail, and we also have a ton of cassettes right now have digital downloads. So if you buy a cassette, you'll be able to put it right onto your iTunes or phone or whatever.
Perfect. All right. And next Monday, you can catch the band live and pick up some stuff there. So with that, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next week. But first, we'll leave you with Bird of Paradise by Forest Phallus. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great week.